desire to bind our mind and our thoughts to yours. Lord, that we no longer be distracted from this world, but rather that we be yielded to you and to be surrendered to you. And Lord, I pray that you enable us as we take steps of faith to step out and to spend time with you, to listen to your voice, and to be desiring to do what your will is. And so, Lord, I pray as we hear your word, and Father, that we be encouraged by your word, and Lord, that you would continue to develop us, and Lord, that we would learn that perseverance and not to give up, not to lose hope, because you're our sure hope, that you never fail us, you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're always there through every difficult time and every good time that we're having. So Lord, we thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are going to be speaking to us. So Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. And Lord, also apply your word to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Morning. This morning I was to fast for those who are doing the fast, or even those who are even doing the devotion. How are the devotions been for you guys? Been good? You know, the other day I was reading day 11 to day 12 really spoke. And it's amazing how God really speaks to us when we listen. To be still and to listen. And sometimes in the stillness, we get antsy. Right, sometimes we do get antsy, we get bored, and we're like, "Hey, Lord, I want to, commit this time to you. And Lord, help my mind not to drift off, but Lord, let me just be attentive to what you're going to say to me today." Because as we read His Word, He's going to speak to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through impressing on our hearts, just putting thoughts into our minds, to even to pray for people, or to pray for different situations. I know we've been probably, how many people have had answered prayers in the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, right? Now, has there been prayers that have not been yet answered, right? We probably have a long list. So with those, how we continue to press in with those prayers. Sometimes we get discouraged. We can get discouraged. That it's like, Lord, you answer these ones really quickly. And then sometimes, Lord, I don't know why it takes so long for these prayers not to be answered. So do we get discouraged in that? Or do we ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to teach me right now? Because sometimes prayers are not yet, right? He doesn't answer because it's His timing. It's not our timing. Too often we get impatient. We go through a fast food place and we're like, well, there's only 2 minutes we had to wait on it. I just kind of want to do it a little quicker. Or stand in the lineup. We want things more, like, faster. Because we get impatient. Because we're always on the go. And so why does God deny our prayers? or delay our prayers. I shouldn't say deny, but what does he delay our prayers? To give us patience. You know, it's so how about who has 1 John 5:14? Let's start with that one. So perhaps the prayer that we're praying, maybe it doesn't line up to his will. Perhaps sometimes he's just holding off because it's not his timing yet. So this morning we're going to look at why God delays in answering your prayers and my prayers. When it comes to understanding God's will, then the when is just as important as what and now. So he wants to answer our prayers. He hears our prayers. But I know when day 11 and day 12, it talked about sin and also and about love. And sometimes, do we have bitterness or resentment towards people? Even if we have bitterness or resentment against the government, do we have bitterness or resentment against somebody that doesn't even know that? But when we have bitterness or resentment, even say that to the government, I'm not saying that you have to agree everything. Definitely not saying you have to agree everything, but we should not have resentment against them. Because God's placed them into that position for a time. God knows what he's doing, right? So do I get bitter, resentful towards people? And that's also a condition of our heart. Do I pray for those people? It's like, Lord, help me to pray for this person. And Lord, help me not to be bitter or resentful towards that person. Because the Lord doesn't want us to hold on to bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness. And so, if I hold on to resentment and bitterness, that's putting us in a bondage. It's chaining us up. Because I can't remember which day it was, but it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And to have a different, to have love for people. Not saying that you agree with their sin, but it's just like to be like Christ. Jesus loved that sinner. He prayed with them and they seen the difference and they repented. And so when we have a love for people, a genuine love, people see that and they experience that. And the conviction comes from God. It's not me trying to transform somebody's life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit's working, because I believe our desire is to be more like Jesus every day. And if I want to be more like my Lord and Savior, then I want to be in step with him. So am I holding on to things, especially resentment and bitterness, unforgiveness? Because Satan loves us to be in that. You know, sinful behavior obstructs answers to prayer. So sinful behavior obstructs answers to prayer. Who has 1 Peter 3:7? Is that for spirit? Oh, I put. Sorry. See, I already led you astray. Sorry, Annie. 1 Peter 3. Thank you. It was good. But husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to be the weaker vessel. It's not that they are less than a man. Right? They're equal or co-heirs with Christ. Your wife is. Being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I think sometimes when a husband, we can hinder our prayers can be hindered by how we treat our wife. Our prayers can be hindered how we treat others. Likewise, it just even, there's a way to live with our wives or our wife that clogs our prayers and ruins our spiritual impact. And there is a way to live with our wives that frees us in our prayers to help us empower our spiritual impact with them. And so, is there something holding, how do we treat people? Do we talk maliciously about them? Do we gossip about them? How do I treat somebody? And so if I'm treating somebody wrongly, that can hinder our prayers. And the great thing is if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit living within you that convicts us of sin and convicts us of things that we maybe have spoken wrongly about somebody, and maybe something that we said or even our actions. So that's why as we listen, God will speak. Right? He convicts, not condemns. So when he's speaking to us and he says that, you're not, he's especially, that's a really impactful one for husbands. Because as a husband, you are the head of the house, you are responsible for how your household is. And as a house, you're the covering. You're like Jesus, you're the spiritual covering of that house, not the wife. But yet she walks with you, right? The man has responsibility unto God for how his house is. And that's a very should be an opener for every man in this church. That we have a responsibility in how our house is. And take responsibility for that. To teach our children how to live and to share with them who the Lord is. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. I thought Kim had that one. So not to do evil against evil. But to have pray blessings upon somebody in respite of somebody doing evil to you. If I could pray for, if I have bitterness, resentment, and it's like, Lord, help me to be able to pray for that person, to have a genuine love for that one. That would be coming more into line with how Jesus to say is like, just so you're not in bondage. Too often we're in bondage without knowing that we're in bondage because our eyes have grown cold, or our eyes have been hardened, or our heart has been hardened because of the such evil and the poverty that's in this world right now. But it's like praying for the lost, praying for those who are so messed up, praying for those who are being led astray by Satan, and just sharing the truth of the gospel to them. And if we have this love for people, because people have messed it up, it's like, oh, you gotta love them like this, but I'm not agreeing with their sin. I love them because I see them as somebody who needs to be saved, and the Lord Jesus is going to be the one saving them. I have a love for them because I don't want to see them perishing and to go to utter hell. I have a love for them because I want them to know Christ. And that's the love to have, because we don't want people to go to hell. Jesus died for all those who give their lives, who surrender their lives. He was the atoning sacrifice so that nobody would have to go to hell. But I know there's a choice. Peter said, God is against those who do evil. In other words, sins in our lives displease God and is a hindrance to answer prayer. Psalm 66:18. Who has Psalm 66:18? Did I give that to somebody? So John reminds us that we need to have a clear conscience before we come to God when we pray. What's 1 John 3, verse 20, 21? Chapter 3, verse 21, 1 John. So if there's no sin that needs to be dealt with, we have confidence, knowing that God is going to hear our prayers. I know sometimes if you know there's hidden sin, if there's iniquity, it's kind of hard to pray, isn't it? Because the relationship part is broken. And the Lord wants us to be right with Him, and so He convicts us of hidden sin or any iniquity in our lives. So we need to be fully free from sin completely before God can expect to answer our prayers. Are we ever going to be freely, fully free from sin? No. So you don't need to be fully free from sin completely before God, because that won't happen until the day the Lord takes us home. But He's going to convict us of sin that needs to be dealt with now. So if He convicts us of sin that needs to be dealt with now, and there's things that He's still going to work on us, He brings that to our mind, and He reveals that. Does that make sense? So if He doesn't convict you of anything right now, there's no restriction to go to the Father and to pray to Him, because there's nothing hindering your prayers. Now, if it's iniquity or unconfessed sin, now there is things that are hindering your prayer. So you need to repent and get right with the Lord, and so that your prayers are not hindered. We must not neglect the Bible emphasis on personal holiness. He desires us to live a holy life. And yet, as we repent and stay in step with Him, as we listen to His voice, as we spend time reading His word and He shows something in our life, then we deal with that then, not later. Don't say, oh, Lord, I'll do it later. Do it now. When the Lord is pressing on your heart to repent or get right with somebody, don't put it off. Prayer and holy living go together. So what's James 5:16? That's James 5:16. Tim? Oh. Okay, who has James 5:16? Did they give it to somebody? I can read it. So confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effect and fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Sometimes confessing it to somebody, saying, you know what, I've been having a struggle with bitterness and resentment. Can you help and pray for me? You're confessing it to somebody. It's not something hidden. When sin is hidden, Satan loves us. But when we openly confess our sin to somebody, or a trust, it's a trusted person that we could, even to your wife or to a good a friend that you're able to pray with, and say, you know what, I'm having these struggles, and I'm going to confess these to you. And it's in confidence, and so you like somebody that you could trust. We also confess these to the Lord, but it's also that when we confess to one another, that you may be healed, it says. The effect, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So nothing is hidden. There's accountability. There is much grace for in the believer's life, but growth in personal holiness is also a route to much greater blessing. And that is true with respect to prayer as well. Another way that God delays our prayers is, do we give up? Do we give up when we not, our prayers are not being answered? Do we become maybe bitter or resentful to God? It's like, Lord, why aren't you answering these prayers? Am I doing something wrong? And that's why I talked about sin first. It's like, because it talks about, Lord, search my heart, reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. And if you ask the Lord to search your heart and to reveal anything, you're saying, Lord, I am opening my heart to you. I want you to search me, reveal anything that's hindering my prayers, anything that's hindering my walk with you. I want, Lord, to be transparent with you. And I want you to search me. And so that's why we always say, Lord, is there a sin in my life that needs to be dealt with? If he doesn't convict us of it, then we're good. And then so Jesus, keep on asking, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. So Matthew 7:7-8. Who has that? The Lord wants to keep you, wants us to be asking and seeking. We all have children or grandkids. Do they not ask for things? And they ask and ask and ask. And they don't relent. They keep on asking until they get it. Or you say, maybe later. Sometimes I say, no, not yet. But why? Not yet. And I think that's how the Father is. He wants to answer, but he's saying, not yet. It's not the right time. Well, keep on seeking. Keep on asking. You know, we aren't to pray for something one time. We keep on pressing in. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. We're to pray through or until the situation changes. You don't stop unless he says otherwise. We are to be persistent. Delayed answers to prayer are normal. It's the Father's timeline to answer. So we all know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Did God answer right away? God gave him a promise, did he not? And how long did it take for that promise to come to fulfillment? 25 years. So did they get impatient? Did they? Can't believe that, would they? So at year 11, they got impatient. So they took matters in their own hands. So obviously God needed their help. No. Just trying to be funny. So they got impatient after 11 years. Because God gave them a promise. How often do we get impatient? And so, you know, because of their impatience, Sarah gave Abraham her servant Hagar as a secondary wife to produce a male heir. She produced a male heir for him. And he thought that Ishmael was going to be that firstborn, but God said, no, I didn't promise you him. There's somebody greater that I want to use, and it's going to be who I intend to have. So it wasn't until Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old when she came pregnant. A year later, Isaac was born. So God made the promise when they were 75 and 65 years of age. 25 years. Is 25 years a long time for God? So answer delayed doesn't mean answer denied. Unless God specifically says no. God said, I'm going to give you a, this is my promise. And does God ever break a promise? Has God ever broke a promise? So if God gives you a promise, do we get impatient? At times we do. Right? Understanding it can be a challenge, especially when our mind set of a difficult situation or a long wait. We don't like to wait. Especially in difficult situations, we'll wait for a little bit, but we get impatient. And then we try to do things in our own strength. We start doing things in our own strength. And then put, oh, this is what I'm going to do for the Lord. Has the Lord asked you to do that? So when we pray, we're asking Lord, I'm praying for this situation. And then you could be quiet for 10, 15 minutes. Listening to his still small voice. It's a two-way conversation because is prayer a one-way or two-way? Two-way street. The Lord wants us to listen. So it's like Abraham and Sarah. There's other stories in the Bible that God delayed the answer. But we are reminded, and it reminds us that God, we can trust God. It's God's timing. Even when it doesn't make perfect sense to us. Do we get impatient? God delays our prayers because he desires to change our character. So God would be answering a lot of other prayers, but maybe there's a specific prayer that he's not answering. Maybe there has to be some sort of change in your life that he is doing as you yield to him and as he changes you. God also delays so our desires and motives line up to His will. So He's changing us. He is waiting for us to listen for instructions. God has set another reason why God delays our prayers. God is setting the stage to bring glory to Himself. Look at Abraham and Sarah. In the end, God, can you imagine being 99 years old and your wife's 89 to have a child? That's a miracle. Right? It's so when we're praying, we're like, God, answer that prayer. When we're saying that, it's because of we humbled ourselves, we sought Him, we seek Him. He stirs in us to press in. So there's an active part in our life. It's like, hey, Lord, I'm going to seek You. I'm going to knock. I'm going to press in. And I'm going to keep on asking about this prayer. And God answers eventually or right away. But He gets the glory because it's not us doing it. We have a part in it. We have to take the initiative to pray, to seek Him, to knock, keep on asking, not to be giving up, but we are persistent. And if God says no or not yet, okay, Lord, I hear You. Does this make sense? God is also testing us. Am I just going to walk away from Him when I don't get my answer? Or I don't get it right away? You know, Joseph was tested. During this time, God tested him in Potiphar's household. Would he cave in to sexual demands of Potiphar's wife? He didn't. He ran away. But the tests weren't over. So God allowed him to be falsely accused, sentenced him to an unjust term in a dungeon. Would he serve faithfully even in the dungeon? And what did he do? He did. His circumstances never didn't dictate if he would pray to God and seek Him. He still stayed faithful through every situation that was in his life. God delayed the fulfillment of the promise made to Joseph as He tested him. Because what happened in the end with Joseph? His brothers came, and He didn't reveal that. He could have killed them easily, because He was the second in command in all Egypt. But He had mercy on them. God was testing him. His heart was right. He wanted to serve the Lord and do what God desired. There's to be a blessing. He does this same thing with us. The question is, can we be trusted to overcome our own desires, our passions, and our emotions, to stay in the center of His will? Or will we run away or run ahead of Him? That's why sometimes prayer is supposed to be an intimate time with the Lord. It's time spending with Him. He wants to hear from His children. God is deepening our faith, and so that we can trust Him more. He delays our prayers because He wants us to grow in perseverance. He delays because He's preparing our character for an assignment. He's preparing us for what's yet to come. So certain prayers are not answered right away, because He is working in our lives to prepare us for the future. He Can you think of how you, well, what's one thing you asked God to change in your life? And how long did it take a while for that to happen? Because you have to yield to Him, and He's working things out in your life. Just like ministry. In ministry, He's calling us all to minister to people. Right? All of us are called to be ministers of the gospel. We're all called to share the truth of the gospel. So what areas of His in your life is He working out right now? That He's preparing us. Is it self-confidence? Is it to be bold? Is it to be listening to His voice? So when we ask, Lord, how can I pray for this person? He will reveal to you how to pray for that person. Because only God knows what's going on in somebody else's life. And so when we're asking, Lord, how do I have this conversation with this person? God will put some words in your mouth. You might even just be compassionate to give somebody a hug. Or even to be there for them when we're going through difficult times. He's changing our, because we're very selfish people at times. He's changing so that we would have love, this love for people other than ourselves, to put ourselves out there so that we'll bring glory to Him, because He's changing us. He's still working in us. He's still changing our minds and our perspectives to say, go and put yourself out there. Be compassionate to this person. Don't be so judgmental. But do not compromise my word. See, that's where the difficulty is. Sometimes people say, well, if you want me to love somebody, I need to compromise your word, because your word's so, it's like, this is what sin is. So we water it down. But if we compromise the word of God, there's no sense sharing the word of God, because it's the word of God that sets people free. When we share in love and compassion and to see people set free, it's God working in their hearts, because He's using our mouth to share it to people. God delays prayers to protect us from trouble. God delays prayers perhaps there's sin in our camp. Sometimes in the church, maybe there's hidden sins that are not dealt with. In Joshua 7, Achan hid. God told the Israelites to kill every the people they were going against, even their animals, and not to take any trophies or take any of the loot. But Achan, what did he do? He took something that he wanted, and he buried in his tent. And so Israel was, when they were right with God, God was moving, and they were defeating people. But as soon as the sin came in, they got destroyed. There was a setback. And so in Joshua, it talks about how they got together, and they started seeking the Lord, and the Lord said, there's sin. Somebody was, they knew who it was. But they went to the other 12 tribes, the other 11 tribes, to search the tents and do all this. And so Achan had all this time to repent and to get right with God. But he never did. And what happened? He died and his whole family died. God gives people opportunities to repent. He's long-suffering, but He wants people to repent. He prompts us to repent. He gives you ample time to repent and confess our sins. Perhaps why the prayers are delayed. Perhaps there's an unseen battle taking place. So Ephesians 6:12 says, for For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan does not want the believer to trust the Lord. Satan doesn't want us to trust the Lord. He wants us to doubt who God says he is. And he wants to say, well, God doesn't answer your prayer. And what should our response be? He does, because the Bible says he wants to answer our prayers. He hears our prayers. As long as I am right with him, that my prayers won't be hindered. And if I'm walking with the Lord, we know that he's going to answer our prayers. In Revelation, it talks about how the bolt, is it Revelation 5, 8, or, and also 7? Our prayers go up to heaven every day, and it goes into the bowl of incense. And so it's a beautiful smelling fragrance unto God. So God loves hearing the prayers of the saints. But Satan tries to discourage us and tries to say, you know what? God doesn't hear your prayer. Look, he hasn't answered this prayer in the last year or 2 years. But that should be more encouraging, because then you know if Satan's bugging you, then that's irritating him. So then we press in. Perhaps our prayers are going to be answered until we die. Maybe we're not ever going to see those prayers answered. Because God, it's God's timing. Right? If we're praying for our children, our grandchildren, great grandchildren, a lot of times we won't see all that, the answered prayers. So we don't give up. We persevere. You perhaps are praying for a lost family member. Maybe you won't see him coming to the Lord. Maybe you just pray, Lord, I pray for this family member, Lord, that you bring somebody who is a God-fearing person into their life. Do you surround them with God-fearing people? So they would have a confidence. A person who will help them, lead them through your truth, and then even, Lord, they will come to believe, to be a follower of Christ. Sometimes we're only to be there planting seeds, even to be there praying to God and seeking him and intercession for people. We're called to intercede. So maybe we don't always see the answers. But when you hear that, you're like, well, praise God, because this prayer was answered. And then you check it off and say, this prayer was answered. How many prayers has God answered in your lifetime so far? Do you know if you have a journal? A prayer journal? And you wrote down, I've been praying for so-and-so, put the date, and when the prayer was answered, put down the date. And so in a year's time, you can say, in this year, God has answered X amount of prayers. Then, when you're going through difficult times, difficult seasons, you can say, Lord, I know you're faithful, because this last year, you have already answered 300 some odd prayers. Or you answer 200 some odd prayers. It's reminding us how faithful God is. He's always faithful. Even when we're not faithful, he's faithful. He's always at work. He's always calling people to himself. And so perhaps we have a journal starting this year, writing down the prayers that we have. And when their prayers get answered, it's a reminder to us how faithful God is. Romans 8:28. I think that's going to be on the... And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So we know all things work together for good to those who love God. The reason He delays in answering prayers is because He is is working all things for our ultimate good. Every situation, every moment, every part of our journey, He's working all things for His glory, and for His purpose, for those who love Him. And also the Lord continues to exhort us. What's Luke 18:1? Luke 18:1 says, then he spoke a parable. Jesus spoke this, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Don't give up. Press in. And as we continue to do the fast, perhaps there's prayers on your list that will not be answered right away. But as we continue to seek the Lord, hopefully this reminds us God does delay at times, and certain prayers at times, but not to lose heart. Continue to press in. Keep seeking Him. Father, I thank You for Your word. And Lord, as we continue to seek Your face, and Lord, humbling ourselves before You, and Lord, I pray that You would encourage us, Father, this morning. And Lord, that the prayers that have not been yet answered, Lord, we're going to continue to press in until the day that You tell us to stop. So Lord, I pray that You would encourage us, give us the perseverance that we need, and to continue to lift up family members. And Lord, we just pray that even for this, for the lost, Father, that You would stir in our hearts for the people that don't know You yet. Lord, that we would continue to intercede for the people in this town. Father God, we would intercede for those who are just totally doing the opposite things, Lord, but we know that You could draw those people in. So Lord, I pray that You would soften their hearts, that You would open up their minds to see the truth of the gospel, and Lord, that You would continue to give us opportunities to share the truth of the gospel to people, and to have a love for the lost, and Lord, to pray for them. I pray, Father, that You would stir a passion and a love in our lives to pray and to develop our intimacy with You, Lord, so that we would know You more intimately than ever. And so, Lord, as we continue to seek You, Lord, let us be still. Help us to be still in those quiet times, to hear Your voice, to listen to You, to what You're saying. And Lord, that we would not delay, but Father, we would respond and say, Lord, here I am. And I will do it, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be surrendered unto You. And Lord, help us to respond quickly and not to delay. In Jesus' name. So hopefully that helps. I think there's so many, yeah.